LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Now in its second full day, millions of American workers at risk, including National Guard members, some of whom are being ordered into cities across the country.
A lot of these people had paying civilian jobs, and they left those. They're now spreading mulch and cleaning up trash in D.C. They're being sent to Portland to train. We're also talking about Memphis. We're talking about Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There are a lot of cities where Trump wants to send these guard troops. So the number I calculated is 3,600 troops that could potentially be operating across U.S. cities.
That's ABC's Ann Flaherty. Congress is off today. No votes because of Yom Kippur. Two Delta Airlines regional jets colliding at New York's LaGuardia Airport last night. At least one person was injured in what's being called a low-speed collision. The U.N. says it's closely monitoring the flotilla of ships loaded with aid for Gaza after the Israeli Navy boarded the ships and brought the activists on board to Israel. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Celebrities like Emily Blunt, Ben Stiller, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Hanks, and Scarlett Johansson have all been vocal about their opposition to AI in the entertainment business. Yesterday in the Beats, I mentioned Tilly Norwood, an AI actress who even has an Instagram account and whose creator says she will probably be signed by a talent agency soon. As you can imagine, that did not sit well with actors. One in particular, Melissa Barrera, who has been part of the Scream franchise, recently said that any agency that signs an AI performer should be boycotted. Two prominent talent agencies, the William Morris Endeavor and the Gersh Agency, have vowed they will not sign the Tilly Norwood creation or other AI actors. According to Yahoo Entertainment, a representative from the William Morris Endeavor says they only represent humans. That's a very admirable stance. I just wish when they represented me, they would have returned my calls quicker. Seriously, though, it is a small victory. I hope the momentum continues. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More green for green. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks training camp is underway. General manager John Horst was asked if he would confirm they're working on a new contract extension for AJ Green.
First of all, yes, he's extension eligible. He is all season. Had a lot of conversations with AJ and his agent. Good conversations. We'd love to have AJ with us, you know, for a long time. And we're able to work on that. We are working on that. No one works harder than AJ. High character individual. But I think he's really worked to earn that opportunity to be a high-level rotation guy for us. And, yeah, we're having the conversations, and I hope we're able to figure something out.
NFL, the Packers' bye week continues. Matt LaFleur asked if he thinks he'll have left guard Aaron Banks or right tackle Zach Tom back from injuries when they host the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still, you know, we're a ways out from that, so we'll have a better indication, I would say, Monday.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community, we must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date. And my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
What an incredible week it's been at World Dairy Expo. I hope you've been enjoying the photos, videos, and podcasts we've been sharing on MidwestFarmReport.com, also Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, and if you're on Instagram, MWF Report. And the coverage doesn't slow down. Pam Yonke is still broadcasting live from the show today and tomorrow. The rest of the team, we're bringing you those one-of-a-kind stories you can only find at the meeting place for the global dairy industry. Coming up this hour, you're going to hear sounds of Expo thanks to the new Glarus Yodel Club. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss that. We're also going to introduce you to Wisconsin's own Guernsey champions. And since it is Thursday, we are catching up face-to-face with our friends at Everegg. Those familiar voices you hear right here on the show, they are working their booth at Expo this week. So stick with us. We've got a full morning of World Dairy Expo stories, sounds, and surprises ahead.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At the beginning of the year, we saw multiple funding cuts, including cuts to the Local Food Procurement Assistance Program, or LFPA for short. This cut left many farmers within the state without a sure form of income. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And to help these farmers recover some of the losses, the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative started a subscription food service called Tend and Table. Tara Roberts-Turner, the general manager of the co-op, and Kendra Forseth, the leader of the Tend and Table program, are here to share more about how it got started and what all it entails.
We were charged with being the procurement arm of a program called Local Food Procurement Assistance Program. And basically what that meant is we brought in the product, we cooled it, and we transported it for delivery to different food security partners all over the state of Wisconsin. And we ran that program for 2 years, and we were given, along with the growers, a third-year contract. And we were very excited about that. We prepped for it really hard. And then in the first quarter of 2025, that program was cut. And so a lot of the farmers had already purchased their seed and other implements that they needed to raise the crops that they had been contracted for. And these particular items were going to food pantries, most of them very rural. And then also a bunch of food pantries in Milwaukee, so the most food insecure counties in the state of Wisconsin. So when that happened, it was devastating to say the least, not just for our building because it, you know, took a huge part of our budget away, but to the 108 growers that had contracted this year to produce everything from A to Z, fresh produce, fruit, pasteurized and grass-fed meat, and then also value-added products like honey and maple syrup. And then, of course, it was a big deal for our food security partners because they had been already receiving a number of cuts, and this was just another cut of product that would go into the different pantries. And so we decided that we just weren't going to sit idle. We needed to get their product out there, and we decided to rely on more of a grassroots approach of getting the state of Wisconsin involved and letting them know what happened and saying, hey, we need to support these growers and this program because not only is it supporting wholesale readiness in Wisconsin so we have more producers, but it's also helping us create a middle of the supply chain in Wisconsin, which is something we haven't had in a very long time.
And you were mentioning, I believe you said 108 farmers are part of this. So are all those farmers still together in this, or did some drop out, or how is that transition?
Yeah, we have 108 right now. I think we only lost like maybe two or three producers who decided to stop growing altogether. So very few of them have dropped out. Is that accurate?
Yeah, there's maybe a handful that have decided that this just wasn't for them budget-wise. And that was even before the LFPA cuts, I believe, right at the beginning of the year. So it's really great that they're able to work together because, like Tara was saying, when it comes to farmers and being a smaller chain like that, it's really helpful if a couple farmers can get together and produce what one normal farmer would produce in just what they would harvest. So we are able to take product from multiple growers, put it all together. It's all the same product, and then we get it out to people. So yeah, it's really awesome seeing how well they work together to make this happen.
And this is a subscription service. So how does that work? Do you sign up if you want to get the food from these farmers, or what's that whole process look like?
What they would do is they can go to the website. You can choose a subscription, or you can choose just to buy a box that week if you feel like you want to buy a box. We're only going a week out right now, so if you buy a box this week, you'll get it next week kind of thing. And basically, they just go to the website. They're able to pick their box. There's a few different choices for add-ons that we have available right now from our value-added producers as well, like honey, eggs. We've got some beans, dried beans, as well as popcorn. So we're using a little bit of those items right now as add-ons that people can click and add to their boxes. They can also add those to subscriptions, so every week they're receiving those items if they'd like. And we also have a couple different boxes for them to choose from, either an all produce box, or they could also choose a variation where it comes with a type of meat along with your vegetables and a type of fruit. And then we also have our couple different options for meat boxes, a family meat box, as well as a griller's option meat box. With us living in the state of Wisconsin, we all like to start grilling around this time of year. Even if it's cold, the Packers are on, we gotta get out there and grill. So why not grill some really good meats from your state versus ordering elsewhere?
Yeah, I was told earlier this year that in Wisconsin, grilling season's year round. So
and so is Tend and Table. So the boxes will go year round because we do have producers that are producing products indoors. And so we will have plenty of product to go 365 on this program. And the other thing is that Kendra didn't mention is the website is www.tendandandtable.com.
And if we take a look at the boxes themselves, what does a typical box look like? What can you expect to find in there?
Yeah, well, our most common box is the Farm Share box. This is the one that has fresh fruits and vegetables and a serving of meat. So this week's box we have right in front of us, it includes pears from Doors and Floors in Door County, apples from Smiling Dog Orchard in Chilton, some Honeycrisp apples. We've got bulk carrots from Cattail Organics, which is in Athens, Wisconsin, right by Wausau. We also have salad mix from Red Door Family Farms, which is also in Athens, Wisconsin. And then we have a pico de gallo from Olden Organics, which is right in Ripon, Wisconsin. And then we've been throwing in a freebie. So the freebie this week is some Wisconsin certified organic blue corn chips from Blue Farm, which is in the southern part of the state. And we have tomatoes. So, and then for the serving of meat, they're getting 2 pounds or 8 patties of
grass-fed quarter pound beef patties.
Well, and right now, how many subscriptions do you have? How many of these boxes are you sending out?
Yeah, so we had a soft launch, which means without any advertising, and we have well over 60 boxes that we're putting out this week. But our goal is to have 4,000 boxes signed up for in the next month. And so we've now hit the advertising hard, and we especially appreciate you getting the word out. Again, we really want folks to know that, you know, this isn't just a regular CSA box. This box is going to help the state in multiple ways. Number one, it's going to help those small farmers that are trying to work up to being a wholesale producer. Number two, it's going to help our transport system by increasing routes for our middle of the supply chain. And number three, it's going to help our food security partners because they're able to go on the site and donate a box to our food pantry friends, or they're able to do a fundraiser.
Tara and Kendra say that if you are a farmer that is interested in becoming part of this Tend and Table program, you can go to the Wisconsin Food Hub website and fill out the form that says you're interested, and they will get back to you with details. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As President Donald Trump seeks retribution against the prosecutors and law enforcement who investigated him, some of his 2020 allies are on the hook in civil court. Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic prevailed last week over Rudy Giuliani and Mike Lindell for their defamatory statements against the voting technology companies. Dominion sued Giuliani, former mayor of New York and Trump campaign lawyer, for $1.3 billion, claiming that he made false statements about Dominion's electronic ballot tabulators being rigged to tilt the election to Joe Biden. Dominion has previously won a $787 million settlement from Fox News and $67 million from Newsmax for similar claims. September 26, Dominion announced a settlement with Giuliani, though the amount is still unknown. In the past 2 years, Giuliani has been disbarred, filed for bankruptcy, and was indicted for trying to overturn the 2020 election. Also on September 26th, a federal judge found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell defamed voting systems company Smartmatic. The yet-to-be-decided damages may hinge on whether Lindell knew his claims the machines were manipulated were false. Lindell still faces a suit from Dominion. President Trump announced last month Giuliani would be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about 4 or 5 of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we continue from on location in Shawnee, Wisconsin. We'll continue to follow the government shutdown, and when entertainment and politics cross over,
Who do you hold accountable? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
However, you did say Wednesday was probably the coolest day of the week, so enjoy it. So does that hold true, Stu, or are we going to see the temps pick back up here?
It still holds true, Stephanie. Those temperatures are going to begin to rise. Today, I expect a lot of us will head back into the 80s. There were 70s, many locations. A little lacrosse yesterday did find its way to 81. All of us push up into the 80s today and then further into the 80s on Friday and Saturday. Very, very warm air still wrapping in that big, strong upper level high over near the New England states. They're staying cool right under that high. But here out to the west and southwest of that system, we get that mild air building in. There's still a frontal boundary kind of holding on in the Dakotas back toward western Nebraska. I will say this. Far northwest Wisconsin, Park Falls, Hayward area, there's a very slight chance of a little pop-up shower as we head toward late afternoon or early evening. That's about as far as it may get if it makes its way into Wisconsin. Otherwise, the rest of us are looking at sunshine and warmer air today, warming up into the day tomorrow. Very, very much a summertime pattern. That upper system is finally going to start to lose its efficiency, start to having a little less of an effect around here, so that by late Sunday, Sunday night, if you will, or into Monday, small rain chances may finally begin to edge back into Wisconsin. And at that time, those temperatures will begin to cool a bit. In fact, I'd expect we start getting closer to normal Monday and quite likely at normal or maybe a degree below when we look on toward Tuesday and Wednesday. Even though our extended forecast now into the middle of October still indicates that above normal temps are going to hold on, could be just a little cool starting next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on.
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
I'm taking a look at our talk text line this morning, and yes, it looks like Northeast Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin, if you're not done with corn silage, you're about to be, and with a rain chance maybe coming this weekend, it sounds like now's the time to do it. Stu, we've also got a text message from Florida. Charity Seebecker, who was a voice you may be familiar with here on the Midwest Farm Report. She was with us for about 3 years. She says she's tuning in. She says, happy World Dairy Expo Week, and hey, I think the weather at World Dairy Expo might resemble Florida.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close. They've got some warmth going on down there as well. We are going to be in for another gorgeous day today with sunny skies. There'll be very upper 70s, even in the far north, low 80s in the south today. The south wind's about 5 to 10. Clear overnight, we drop back down into the very low 60s, 60, maybe an upper 50 here and there with just a south breeze. Another sunny day Friday. Here's where it warms up. Low and mid 80s, could be up around 87 or 88 in the south tomorrow with a southwest breeze. Much the same Saturday, sunny. Again, mid and even upper 80s with south winds at 5 to 15. Just be ready, Stephanie, as you're making your plans or working on the soybeans this weekend or something. Late Sunday into Monday, that rain chance may start to edge in.
And I want to encourage people, too, if you do see something, don't forget to send us a note through our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-FARM. 301-3276. That is the number to our talk text line. And I want you to also stick around with us. Swiss Yodelers are on the way, the Sounds of World Dairy Expo. We've also got an interview with some Wisconsin champions out of New Glarus. You're not going to want to miss their excitement. And Everegg joins us later in the hour with a live look at what's going on in the marketplace. So we'll see you soon.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
That oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway, something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Now in its second full day, millions of American workers at risk, including National Guard members, some of whom are being ordered into cities across the country.
A lot of these people had paying civilian jobs, and they left those. They're now spreading mulch and cleaning up trash in D.C. They're being sent to Portland to train. We're also talking about Memphis. We're talking about Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There are a lot of cities where Trump wants to send these guard troops. So the number I calculated is 3,600 troops that could potentially be operating across U.S. cities.
That's ABC's Ann Flaherty. Congress is off today. No votes because of Yom Kippur. Two Delta Airlines regional jets colliding at New York's LaGuardia Airport last night. At least one person was injured in what's being called a low-speed collision. The U.N. says it's closely monitoring the flotilla of ships loaded with aid for Gaza after the Israeli Navy boarded the ships and brought the activists on board to Israel. This is ABC News.
More green for green.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks training camp is underway. General Manager John Horst was asked if he would confirm they're working on a new contract extension for A.J. Green.
First of all, yes, he's extension eligible. He is all season. Had a lot of conversations with A.J. and his agent. Good conversations. We'd love to have A.J. with us, you know, for a long time. And we're able to work on that. We are working on that. No one works harder than A.J., high character individual. But I think he's really worked to earn that opportunity to be a high-level rotation guy for us. And, you know, we're having the conversations, and I hope we're able to figure something out.
NFL, the Packers' bye week continues. Matt LaFleur asked if he thinks he'll have left guard Aaron Banks or right tackle Zach Tom back from injuries when they host the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still, you know, we're ways out from that, so we'll have a better indication, I would say, Monday.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Amy Pahacek, Secretary of the State Department of Workforce Development, an agency more people are needing here in the Trump economy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The WLAK Go for the Green and Gold text win contest is powered by Amory Chevrolet. Lifetime warranty, trusted service, hometown values. Amory Chevrolet, where people matter most.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Mornings with Pat Kreitlow interview with Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Executive Director Sheila Everhart.
You attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. Agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge. the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maze, W-A-T-A Maze, and then we will have weekly winners of that WATA Maze Challenge.
It comes down to that diversification where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there.
To subscribe and find all of Civica Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
1670 AM.
Welcome back on a Thursday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Let's take a look inside the Old Farmer's Almanac for today, October 2nd. According to how the stars and the moon align, the Old Farmer's Almanac notes it's one of the best days for castrating livestock, said to reduce bleeding and promote quicker healing. It's also marked as a prime day to enjoy peak fall foliage, particularly in the southeastern part of the United States this week. I took a look at the Travel Wisconsin Fall Color Report to see how the colors are shaping up here at home. Mostly northern Wisconsin is seeing peak color at around 50% to 75%. There are some other counties sprinkled in there. Dane County, for example, where World Dairy Expo is being held in Madison, is about 50% at that peak fall color. That's what's happening in the Old Farmer's Almanac on October 2nd. And now we turn to our own Ben Jarbo, who takes us back to World Dairy Expo to enjoy some of the sounds on the grounds. Here's a taste of music with Swiss Roots, performed by the New Glarus Yodel Club.
The World Dairy Expo isn't just about celebrating cows, but also the many cultures that are part of this great industry. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and the brown Swiss is one of the cows that brings together multiple countries. Tony Zragan and his group, the New Glarus Yodel Club, brought a piece of Switzerland to the expo, and he's here to give more insight into their tradition.
Well, right now they're playing the Alphorn, which is an ancient instrument, you know, used by the herdsmen for 200-300 years at least up in the Alps in Europe. I came from Switzerland 45 years ago. And yeah, these are the traditions, the bells, you know, and of course we'll do yodeling, singing. And we are here especially for the Brown Swiss Champion Show. So we always lead in the Parade of Champions, you know, for the Brown Swiss cows. And of course, they came from Switzerland, you know, a while back, you know, the herd of cattle and all that. So we always accompany that, the championship show, and we'll have a few other places where we look in. The Brown Swiss Sale will do a little bit of singing, yodeling ahead of time there.
When did you start becoming part of the World Dairy Expo out here?
Well, there was a duet, you know, they, as long as I'm in the country, since 78, you know, there has been some musical, Swiss musical accompaniment of the Brown Swiss Show, and I bet it's probably 20, 25 years that the Yodel Club is doing it now.
And when we look, there's quite a large group of guys here. How many people are part of this group?
Well, if we are all together, we are about 26, 28 people, so we are quite a large singing group. It's mainly male singers, you know. We have four or five ladies in there that yodel along with us and all that. So that's the way traditionally the group is set up, too, you know. But Yeah, we are a good-sized group. We have somebody playing the Swiss accordion. We have the cowbells, you know, all the traditional instruments that the herdsmen had, we do have.
Wow, so is everyone here, do they all have a Swiss background then?
Not anymore. We used to have more background, Swiss background, but I mean, most of them have second, third, maybe more generations background Swiss, you know, and they like that. If, I mean, the travel and all that has brought us closer again, you know, 150, 170 years ago when they left for good, you know, but now we can go forth and back and all that. So, but we have some Norwegian heritage in there as well. And so if you can sing, if we can carry a tune good, you know, and all that, we like to have people, you know, join. And we don't want to get a mass choir or so, but we have a good size group now that if a couple cannot come along, then the rest still can carry it.
Tony's Ragen and Switzerland are not the only country being represented here at World Dairy Expo, as there are people from around 100 different countries in attendance. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store. Flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates, or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
New Glarus isn't just home to those fantastic yodelers we heard earlier. It's also home of Wisconsin champions. Kylie Allen has the story.
Finding success on the colored shavings at World Dairy Expo is a feat that goes deeper than the banner. Well, the same is true for Cadence Farms. They're taking top honors from this year's International Guernsey Show back home to New Glarus, Wisconsin. Cami Dorn of the operation tells us what this win has meant to her and her family.
We had an unbelievable day. A cow we've been bringing every year. She's 8 years old with 6 calves. Ended up being grand champion. She's our problem-free cow. She's amazing. She milks, low somatic cell count, breeds back. She's everything we want in the barn, and then she's gorgeous to go along with it, so it makes it fun to show her off. And she's definitely our family cow. We all know who she is. Our kids know who she is. She's on a special plan at home, so she's the first cow you see in the box stall, and we walk her to her own little pasture. So that was very exciting. We call her Lovely. Lovely was the name of our grand cow, and the reserve grand cow was Lovely's Friend, another amazing cow of ours. Senior 3 with 2 calves, just another great cow, and we put them together and walked them together, and again, just...
Oh, what a phenomenal testament to the quality of animals you're bringing, that not only do they look beautiful in the ring, but they're also being productive for you at home.
Absolutely. Our senior three and her second lactation is projected at 30,000. And again, low somatic cell count, so far problem-free cow. Again, breeds back. Again, everything you want in the barn, and then is also proving herself in the show ring. So we're very grateful for that.
Phenomenal day in the show ring. What has this meant to you and your family?
This means everything. These are the goals, right? I mean, you put in the effort of working with them regularly. The cow that won grand was bred by my in-laws, Dennis and Mary Kay. It's a dream come true to see your cow a shine out there.
A World Dairy Expo show that Cadence Farms isn't soon to forget. That was Cami Dorn along with us. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Thank you, Kylie. Now let's take a look at what's happening in the marketplace on a Thursday morning. From Chicago, December corn is up a penny and three quarters at 418 and a quarter. November soybeans sitting neutral at 1013 a bushel. Cash wheat is up a penny and a quarter at 510 and a half. July 2026 new crop wheat, that's also up a penny and a quarter at 553 and three quarters. Taking a look at Class 3 milk contracts, those are mixed, with the October contract down a penny at 1752. 100 weight. The November contract up a nickel at 1745 100 weight. We'll talk more about our dairy markets in just a moment with Katie Burgess from EverAg.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Drivers, Austin Sindrick here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Dr. Laura Dresser, the Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. We talk about workers needing an actual fair and living wage. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Monitoring the booth a little bit this week and visiting with some of the folks, what are you hearing from producers around the show?
You know, I think that generally 2025 has been a good year for dairy producers, and a little bit of nervousness A little bit of nerves, though, about what's going to come in the months ahead, watching some cheese and butter prices fall over the past few weeks. And, I mean, it's been such beautiful weather this week that I've also talked to a lot of farmers who aren't able to get to the show because they're so busy with harvest. So lots going on this week. Busy week for the dairy industry.
Busy week indeed, and even in the marketplace as well. I know, obviously, Wisconsin is a Class 3 milk producer. That milk goes to make cheese. What is the news of the week when it comes to our 40-pound blocks?
Yeah, I mean, last week cheese prices had fallen to some low levels. This week we are seeing a little bit more of a rebound in prices, so good to see. I mean, it's been a familiar pattern this year. The market falls to the low 160s, then we find some buying activity, we're able to bounce a little bit higher. So good to see prices come up off the lows. Markets for Class 3 have been able to move a little higher as well. But a big thing we're watching is European cheese prices too. That, you know, this, as we've talked about on the show before, cheese exports this year have been fantastic, record levels for cheese exports. But a big reason for that is U.S. cheese prices have been lower than the rest of the world. Over the past few weeks, we've seen European milk production improve over the third quarter, and now European dairy prices for cheese are coming a bit lower. And so as I think about what's ahead for the U.S. market, you know, it's pretty easy to win exports when you're the cheapest cheese in the world, but we're going to be in for a little more competition in the months ahead.
But what about on the domestic side of things? We are that time of year where we're eating pizzas, we're watching football. Are we going to see a pickup on that domestic side to keep U.S. cheese demand strong?
Yeah, thankfully we are in this period of seasonal strength. I would say, though, the tone around domestic demand for cheese is still lackluster. I mean, just this week I have heard a few better notes, but overall this year, domestic demand has been soft. I think that consumers are always looking for value. So it seems like some of those, you know, food service chains, if they're able to have a value menu where people feel like they're getting a good deal, they'll go in and grab food. But the general food service numbers have been soft. And even at the grocery store, you know, it's people are monitoring what goes into their cart. And sometimes that means some dairy products don't make it in.
You know, another dairy product we've been watching that is seeing excellent demand. However, the price is not lifting accordingly. Butter. I mean, butter has just been taking hit after hit, week after week. People are consuming butter, but there just seems to be a lot out there, huh?
Yeah, that is definitely the case. That we got the USDA released the latest fat percentage data this week of how much fat's in the milk. And, you know, once again, for the month of August, the amount of fat in 100-weight of milk continues to be strong. And so with more milk and more fat in each pound of milk we make, the amount of butter fat out there is very high. So we've seen this dramatic decline in prices over the past 3 months, of prices going from $2.62 per pound down to $1.62 per pound. You know, maybe the silver lining in this decline is that it happened early enough that, you know, hopefully the retailers can get some promotional sales set for the holiday season when demand really is strong, you know, around Thanksgiving, Christmas. So we'll see how that plays out. But right now, there's a lot of fat coming off the farm, so we need to find some folks to eat it.
Fat and protein, those are the valuable components of our milk. So as a, you know, dairy advisor, dairy broker, is your advice to farmers to focus more on those protein components and pull back on the fat?
You know, I would say that, especially because we make so much cheese in Wisconsin, we do hear that from manufacturers that, you know, as a dairy producer, it's easier to get more fat in your milk than it is to increase your protein levels. And so we do hear that from some folks of, hey, you know, the proportion is getting a little skewed toward fat. And so there is sometimes that question out there of how do we make sure as an industry we keep that in line? And I think now that the fat market has fallen to these lowest prices we've seen since 2021, I'm sure that people are going to be looking at, hey, what am I feeding to my cows? Does it make sense to feed all these feedstuffs that are increasing fat if the value is the lowest we've seen in a few years?
Katie, are there other places where we use butter fat besides butter? Does the dairy industry have these other places for it to go so that the market can correct itself?
You know, that's perhaps been a little bit of our problem this year as well, is that things like cream cheese, the production has been down there a little bit. Ice cream, the production has been down there. And as you think about, you know, GLP-1 drugs, a lot of that skews towards eating less fat and eating more protein. And so I think we directly see that in the dairy space, that butter prices are under pressure, yet values for whey, especially the high value protein whey, the values for those high protein whey prices are just through the roof right now.
Yeah, well, because protein is king, as you said, when the consumers are, diets are changing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you can point this week to major coffee chain announced new coffee with extra protein in it. Like, you kind of see it everywhere. So important trend right now. And as, you know, folks in the dairy industry, you know, it seems to ebb and flow like this. Fat gets hot, then back to protein. And we are definitely in a protein is king right now type environment.
I want to bring us back full circle here. We started our conversation on kind of the global interest in U.S. dairy. I want to ask specifically about our neighbors, Canada and Mexico. What is their attitude toward the United States right now when it comes to consuming our dairy products?
You know, despite all the trade rhetoric this year, it does feel like the way it's been going right now is somewhat status quo. We've been sending product to Mexico. I mean, on the powder side, nothing special. Canada has been importing a lot of our butter fat. I mean, I do think with some trade tensions, I think there is always a little skepticism there. But if they need the fat or some of it goes to Canada, it goes into Canada and then gets re-exported back to the U.S. So, I mean, that's a big driver of our butter exports this year. Despite some of the trade talk, if people need product, they're going to buy it.
You're at World Dairy Expo this week with EverEgg. Where is your booth? Where can we say hi to you guys? And when are you going to be staff in the area?
We're in the expo hall right across from the Purple Cow gift shop, so you can't miss us. I'll be around on Friday all day, and a lot of our team is here this week, so please come by and say hello.
Say hello and grab some souvenirs. Thank you so much, Katie. Happy to be visiting with you here at World Dairy Expo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
At Amory Chevrolet, people come first. Built on trust and hometown values, they offer reliable service and peace of mind with a lifetime warranty on every new Chevrolet, plus select pre-owned and certified vehicles. With the best selection in stock and complete service and parts department, their factory-trained ASE-certified technicians are proven to keep your vehicle running strong. Conveniently located off of Highway 46 on Cornwall Avenue in Amory, Wisconsin. Amory Chevrolet, where they treat people like people every day.
Inflation is closing the price gap between conventional foods and the organic natural food category. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support helped turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. I'm a fix-it-yourselfer, but I also know there are times when I'm in over my head. My wife has a saying, "Will anything bad happen?" If the answer is even maybe, then call a professional. Too many farmers have gotten hurt or killed by trying to fix a problem themselves. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. Few farmers in America have a higher public profile than Joel Salatin. He's a prominent advocate for the type of farming he does, including grass-fed beef and pastured poultry and pork at Polyface Farm in Northeast Virginia. And Salatin points out that rising retail food prices have made organic and natural foods pricing more attractive for consumers.
We actually post comparisons in our retail store and in our website with other things, and very, very price competitive, if not on a lot of things, lower. In fact, during COVID, we were half the price of the meat in the grocery store.
Salatin looks at the closing price gap as an opportunity for consumers to try natural options.
Food is basically a problem pit stop between the important things in life. And you go to any other country in the world and they've got cultural food icons, you know. But in America, food tends to be looked at as just bodily fuel to power you while you go do your business. And we do not have that kind of honoring food culture. Once we can change that, and it's one awareness at a time, people finally get it.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, The Law Review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer flying home early from the meeting of European leaders in Ukraine following an attack at a synagogue in the city of Manchester. Police say 4 people were injured after someone drove a car into a crowd, stabbed at least one man as well. It happened on Yom Kippur. The attacker shot by police. The mayor of Greater Manchester says the immediate danger appears to be over. The government is still shut down. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio is in Washington.
With no end in sight to the government shutdown, the Trump administration is warning it could begin firing federal workers as soon as today. The shutdown could leave more than 750,000 federal employees furloughed and more than 2 million military service members without a paycheck.
An Idaho judge is blocking the release of some graphic photos taken by investigators after Brian Kohberger killed 4 University of Idaho students in 2022. The judge said other documents will be released. This is ABC News.